We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by Pastor Bob Goeckeler on September 9, 2018 at the Olga Baptist Church of Olga, Florida. The title is Easy Salvation.
I'd like to share with you a couple of readings from Holy Scripture. From James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "sit at my feet." Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded by measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." God's word for us. Please be with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What must we do to be saved? Or put another way, what must we do to inherit eternal life? Questions that have been asked for centuries. Jesus made it pretty clear and simple. Love God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can't be much more to the point and straightforward than that. This idea of loving our neighbors as ourselves has been a key part of God's plan for us from the beginning of time. It is mentioned in Leviticus and is a major part of the New Testament, being recorded as having been said by Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and shows up in many places in the epistles as well. If only it was that easy. Being the inquisitive and rather skeptical people we are, we want more solid answers than that. That broad paintbrush Jesus uses is just too broad for us. And it was for the people in his day, too. We don't want such ambiguous answers. We want a solid outline. Do A, B, and C, and you're all set. This love your neighbor as yourself is particularly troublesome. What on earth does that mean? Sometimes I don't particularly like myself. So does that mean it's okay to also not like my neighbor? And then there's this love God stuff. Pretty easy to say. But if it means following rules and commandments, well, not so easy to do. But that's why we have forgiveness, right? As long as I believe and have faith in God, I should be all set, regardless of the life I live. The great Reformation theologian Martin Luther proclaimed that we are saved by faith alone, a position that has been long debated. But I don't think it's really an either-or type of thing. The Epistle of James that I read from has contributed greatly to this debate. James promotes the position of placing importance on so-called good works as a means of grace, while Paul focused on the importance of faith as the other means of our justification before God. Does it have to be one or the other? Can it be one or the other? Just who this James character was is not totally clear. Many scholars believe he was Jesus' brother, who was not a big believer in Jesus' divinity while Jesus was with them. This relatively brief epistle is not often one of those we focus on, but I think he had some excellent points, and it is certainly well worth your time to read it. The very last verse of our James reading for today really sums up the position he took. He said, "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Before that summation, he gave some examples to build his case. But I think we can focus on this short verse that has created so much controversy. I truly do not think he is saying that we need good works to find salvation. Think of that robber on the cross next to Jesus, who at his very last proclaimed that he believed in who Jesus was and was promised salvation in paradise with Jesus. He hadn't lived a life of good works, but was saved by faith alone in his final hours. How many, like that robber, discover real faith in their last breaths? We can't know this side of heaven. And it really isn't for us to concern ourselves with that. That's a matter for God. I think what James was really trying to point out to us is that if we really have faith and are people of faith, we cannot live our lives without doing good works. That faith that would live in our hearts will simply not let us live otherwise. I think the following verse in James' epistle that was not part of what I read sums it up well. He said, "But someone will say, one person has faith, another has actions. My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions." In our gospel reading from Mark, Jesus shows by his actions that with faith, miracles can happen. Jesus' actions of challenging the woman's thoughts and faith and of touching the man may not have been necessary for the outcomes of healing to occur. Jesus certainly knew absolutely that they would be healed with no doubt in his faith in God's amazing power. But those actions weren't just for the people then. Those actions were for us too. You and me today. But even in this story, it wasn't just having faith, but the action of expressing it as well that brought forth miraculous things. In a way, even the robber on the cross with Jesus displayed his faith in his action. How? By the very witness of telling the other robber that they had lived evil lives and expressing that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. But what of those who live good lives, do good deeds, but do not believe in God, or have moved their lives away from God? I think the answer is rather sadly that the gospel makes it clear that our salvation and resurrection to eternal life in heaven comes through our faith in Christ. Those good actions may make us nice people, but that doesn't fulfill what God seeks of us. that is part of our mission as Christ's church, to share the message of Jesus. And in a way, those rocks that we're going to be getting and have the opportunity to give to others this week are a part of the way we can witness to the faith we have in Jesus as our Lord. Now, in a sense, all of this brings us back full circle to the proclamation of Martin Luther that we are saved by faith alone. That faith comes alive through our actions of ministry, missions, prayer, in so many varied ways, even rocks. But those are a result of our faith. They do not make us faithful by themselves. As James said, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It is sharing that faith, that hope for a bright life tomorrow, that we are called to share as God's people here in this community and beyond. And when we do so, we make that faith alive in our community and in our ministry and in our lives. We care for all of God's people through the work we do in Jesus' name. May we work hard. Amen. And please be with me again in prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to bring our faith alive through the humble works of ministry and service that we offer in your name to all who are in need. As we do so, may your gospel message come alive in and through us. And may you be glorified in all that we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on September 9, 2018 at the Olga Baptist Church of Olga, Florida by Pastor Bob Geckler. The title was Easy Salvation. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.